And all God's people said, Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a hill and sat down. His followers came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Those people who know they have great spiritual needs are happy, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Those who are sad now are happy, because God will comfort them. Those who are humble are happy, because the earth will belong to them. Those who want to do right more than anything else are happy, because God will satisfy them. Those who show mercy to others are happy, because God will show mercy to them. Those who are pure in their thinking are happy, because they will be with God. Those who work to bring peace are happy, because God will call them His children. Those who are treated badly for doing good are happy, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. People will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do, you will be happy. Rejoice and be glad, because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did the same evil things to the prophets who lived before you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Glorious and eternal Father, open our minds and hearts and spirits to your word this day, that we may know of your love and your will for our lives. For it is in the blessed name of Christ we ask it. Amen. A few weeks ago, my family received a great gift from my aunt, my dad's only sister, who lives in Tennessee. She was coming down to spend some time with some family in Jackson and also some time with my parents in Senatobia. And they were also stopping in Birmingham. And so as they made the loop, they stopped at our house and dropped off a dresser. This was a dresser that I remember growing up in my grandparents' house, but actually came from my great-grandparents' house when my grandparents first got married. It was a part of a set, and when my grandparents first got married, because they had absolutely nothing, my great-grandmother gave them the dresser. She kept the wardrobe, but she gave them the dresser. There's nothing fancy about this dresser, although it does have on the back the name of the furniture company where it was purchased and the price of $10. I asked her about the $10 price, and she said that was the price for both pieces of furniture when this was bought. But I love having even just a few moments with my Aunt Betty, because she is the keeper of the family memory. She remembers everything, and she loves to, she's the one who loves to tell us the stories. And while I was visiting with her, she reminded me of a story from my childhood of visiting my grandparents on the farm that I had forgotten about. And I thought it was so appropriate for today. My grandparents had a small farm in the Mississippi Delta, and we would always go and visit them every Sunday. But also during the summer, I would go and spend time. And even though my grandfather had officially retired from farming, he had let out the land and other people were farming, but he still always had things he was doing around the farm. From the moment he got up and my grandmother fixed breakfast, all day we would see him at lunch, and then he would be out doing whatever it was that he did, and then he would come back in. But one of the memories I have from childhood that she reminded me of was sitting on the swing with my grandfather at sunset, looking out the way they had the swing position. It looked out over the cotton fields toward the main road so you could see who was coming. But the part of that memory that I did not remember is she said that I used to tell him when he would come in and we would finish, my grandmother was getting the last dinner together, and I would tell him, hey, let's go swing, it's remembering time. And I don't remember saying that, but I have no reason to doubt. But the reason it was remembering time for me is because that's what my grandfather would do, is we would sit in that swing and we would watch it get darker. and he would tell stories. And he always started his story with, "Well, I remember a time." And so thus, in my childhood memory, that became remembering time. That's really what All Saints is for us, is once again, we gather for remembering time. We gather to remember all of those who have gone on before. We gather to remember all the generations that have brought us where we are. In our scripture today, which most of us know as the Beatitudes, Jesus has gathered. In a way, he's remembering. He's reminding all of the crowd gathered of what the life of faithfulness looks like with the blessed bees. Happy are those who mourn, because God will comfort them. Happy are the peacemakers. But so many times, if we just look at the Beatitudes at face value, we might understand them as a prescription for happiness. Oh, if you want to be happy, then you just need to do A, B, C, and D. You want to be happy, you need to mourn. You want to be happy, you need to make peace. You want to be happy, you need to be humble. You want to be happy, you need to be meek. So we should all strive to be those things because we want to be happy. Just saying it out loud that way sounds almost ridiculous. Because how could these things, such as meekness and humility and sorrow, how could those be things that generate happiness? But again, that's where our failure is. Because Jesus is not giving to the crowd that day a prescription for happiness. He's not saying, if you do A, B, C, and D, you will be happy because. No, what he's doing there is he's reminding us, as he reminded them, just what happiness looks like. That happiness is not dependent upon any of the factors that we might use to define it in the world. That it is not a warning for us or a condemnation for us that we need to do these things in order to be happy. But instead, it is a celebration that even in the midst of the difficulties of life, we have joy. And we have joy because in each and one of those blessed circumstances, God is acting in our life. Whether it is bringing us the kingdom, bringing us comfort, satisfying, showing mercy. In each of those difficult circumstances of life, God brings in His light to illumine for us that our lives are not just this moment. That our lives are something so much more than a moment of difficulty or a moment of struggle or even a moment of grief. Because God is there. The presence that we celebrate with a lighted candle. That God is there in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our difficulties. That God is there. And that is why we can be blessed. Again, he says, blessed are those who know that they need more spiritually. Blessed are those who now mourn because they know it will end. Blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are those who want to do what is right more than anything else. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are those who are pure. Blessed are those who bring peace. Blessed are those who are treated unfairly in this world because of their faith. Not a prescription, not a to-do list, not a recipe for happiness, but simply a reminder that no matter what circumstances are brought to us in this life, we are blessed because God is there in its midst. Today is Remembering Day. Today is a time where we remember all of those who have gone before. We remember all of those from our church family. All of those who have had such an impact in our lives. There are several of these names that are on this list, the people that I, in this last year and a half of ministry, encountered. There were some that I didn't know very well, simply because of geography and time. There are some that I knew better, but I believe that each of them, in their own special way, and especially for you who knew them and loved them, that they had something special in their life that still you remember. Something about their life and their character that still resonates with you even though they are not physically with us anymore. But something that you remember today that still illumines your path from their life and from their faithfulness. One of those that we remember today was Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan was a great and wonderful friend. Dr. Dan was one of those preachers appreciate because he told you exactly what it was he was thinking. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. And he wasn't going to argue with you about it. He simply was going to tell you this is what he thought, and then he was done. I remember one time in a mission meeting where what he thought and what I, as the Greenhorn preacher, thought were two completely different things. And I know you're going to find this difficult to believe, but of the two of us, as we are discussing our differences, one of us got a little more passionate than the other. I don't believe it was ever in his nature to get overly passionate. But after it was over and I had gone home and cooled off, I called to apologize. And I called and got him on the phone and I said, I just wanted to apologize to you. And he said, for what? And I said, because I think I got a little passionate about what I was trying to say. And he laughed and he said, oh, no worries. We're still perfect friends. He said, I heard what you were saying. You heard what I was saying. And I was right. And so we have no reason not to be perfect friends. That is a memory that I often think about as I go into meetings, not just mission meetings. But it's in providing that space where other people can share their feelings and other people can share their hopes. And even though we don't agree with it, and even though at the end of the day somebody may win, somebody may not, but it's still providing that space and not letting that which separates us in view or in perspective separate us in heart and in mind. I think about today a few memories with Miss Juanita Dilley. And I think about how she was always happy whenever I showed up. Now that's also another very treat for the preacher, especially a new preacher, is when folks are actually happy that you show up. But the thing about Miss Juanita is it wasn't just she was happy, but every time I went into her house, everybody who was in the house was happy. And the reason they were happy is because she was happy. Because even when she felt her worst, you just could not be unhappy around her. It was a secret of joy, a gift of joy that she gave. And because of that, that gift of joy she gave to everybody who was there, whether they were family or friends or caretakers, but it endeared her so to you that you wanted to spend more time with her. You wanted to be just simply with her because it made you feel better. Even if you knew she wasn't feeling the best, you felt better simply by being with her. Today we also remember Miss Marlene. I remember in particular one visit with her at the hospital, and she had just had surgery, and she wasn't feeling well, and she was tired, and she was sleeping a lot as part of her recovery. And I had come in and had spoken to her and was getting prepared to pray, and I wasn't planning on staying long, but she kept asking about folks. Well, have you heard from so-and-so? Have you talked to so-and-so? And even though she wasn't physically able to be with us that much, somehow that woman kept tabs on everything that was happening here. She knew more about what was happening here than I did, and I was here every day. But yet and still, I knew it was making her tired, and we talked about that that as long as I was going to be in that room, she was going to be awake because she wanted to be there and to be present, to be there with me and to be there with you as an extension of having the pastor in the room. Because that's what my visit was for her, is it wasn't just me, it was also you. And so finally we said our prayer so that she could rest. But she believed in the connection that was the family. She believed and she had served, and I've heard all your stories about how she was always here before her health didn't allow her to be. If there was anything that was happening in the church, she was here. Because she believed in the family of faith, and she believed in dedicating herself, and even when she could not physically, she still did by heart and mind and emotion, connecting for as long as she could with all of us whom she loved. We also today remember Miss Valda. As I shared at her funeral, one of my fondest memories of Miss Valda was that I had gone to visit Miss Ozella. And Miss Ozella apparently had talked to Miss Valda and told her that she had had a visit from the preacher. And I had not yet been to visit Miss Valda. And so I received a call from Miss Valda that said, "So, I hear that you have been visiting and know that I will see you today." Which she did. But Miss Valda was another one of those who was such a huge part of our life and our family of faith here. And even though she was a little woman, she packed a big punch in life and vitality for as long as she could. But she was one who made her presence felt. And she did that out of her sincere love for the people who surrounded her. And she was a constant reminder for me in my ministry and for all of us of the importance of keeping those connections and the importance of making people know that they are valued. Because that's what it was for her, is even though she saw me on Sundays, that visit meant that she was valued. And she made your time with her know that you were valued as well. You were the focus of her attention and the time. She taught us and reminds us that in God's eyes, we are all God's children. The Scripture even says that. "Blessed are those who bring peace, for they will be called the children of God." Also today, I remember Mr. Bowles. "Good morning from Texas." I got that call at least once a month. And he would always introduce himself and remind me that he was 105 and that he was my oldest member. And then he would ask a myriad of questions about everything that was going on. And as I shared in his service, I freely admit there were sometimes I put him on speakerphone so that I could continue doing what I needed to do. While he told me all the stories of his time here and how much he loved this community and how much he loved this church. And one thing I did not know until his service and gathering with his family is that for a period of 1 week, he was not a member of this church. That he had gone, and when he had moved to Texas, that he had moved his membership to the church where he was attending. And he had moved his membership there. And after 1 week, he decided it wasn't to his liking, and so he had his membership moved back. Because this was his home. This was the place where he felt it was his family. And even though miles and miles separated you, but you were still the people he thought about. You were still the people he cared about. You were still the people he was emotionally and spiritually invested in. Because he had been a part of you. And those are things that miles do not stretch. And then today I also remember Miss Marguerite. A lady whose vivaciousness and vitality and humor was always a blessing to me. as I shared at her service, I was summoned to visit her the very first time. And she was very upfront with Miss Nell that the reason that I was to come is so we could talk about her funeral. And so she could see if I was good enough for it. And so we went and I met her, and her daughter and her husband were there, and we came and visited, and there were a couple of questions that I passed. I was also a Mississippi State fan, which meant that I, yes, therefore, I could be a part of her service. She wasn't that crazy about the fact that I wasn't a diehard Braves or Cardinal fan, but at the same time, she excused it because Mississippi State was most important as far as she was concerned. But she was so full of laughter and so full of life, and it's the first time, honestly, I've ever been invited to talk about a funeral by somebody that I sat there thinking, why are we talking about this? Because it is so far away. And as I was getting ready to leave, we prayed together, and she told me that I had passed, that I could do her funeral. And I asked her, as I do everybody, is there anything I can do for you? And all of a sudden, she got real serious. And she said, well, yes, preacher, there is something that you can do for me. And I said, well, what is that? And she said, I want you to talk to the people that run this place and tell them that it would be okay for us to gamble for money and not just prizes. Because lotion is nice, but cash is so much nicer. And then she smiled and we all laughed. But the blessing of joy, the blessing of humor, that even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of failing health, even in the midst of being separated physically from those that she knew and loved, but yet and still she kept laughing. She kept laughing, and she kept all of us laughing from a real joy. You know, when I think about all of those and the others that we have named today, many of whom I did not get to know directly, but when I think of all of those, I think about joy. And they weren't always happy. They weren't always funny. There weren't always great and wonderful things happening in their lives. But yet and still, there was something about their life that spoke to us as a family of faith and spoke to us as family and friends, in which we would certainly remember them and name them saints. What is that? What is that one tangible description and characteristic of them that speaks beyond all of the memories and beyond all of the miles and beyond all of the years that brings us to this time when we remember? And once again, I turn to the Scripture and I am reminded that the important part of the Beatitudes is the B. Again, it is not a recipe for how to find happiness. It is simply an affirmation that happiness and joy are there in the midst of all circumstances if you are willing to accept it. And then as I prayerfully reflected upon that, it came to me that the greatest gift of all of those that we remember today, the greatest legacy that we celebrate today, is that these were all individuals that at some point in their life understood the power and the everlasting peace of being content. Being content not with all that life brought them, but being content in the knowledge that God was there in the midst, shining a light in darkness, being a hope in times of despair, being grace and peace in the times of failure. That is the heart of the Beatitudes for those gathered on that mountainside and for us as we remember today, is being content. Being content simply to be a child of God. And knowing that no matter what circumstances may come in our life, no matter what the world may bring us, no matter the decisions we make, whether good or bad, that which brings us all together and ultimately brings us happiness and calls us blessed is not what we have and not what we do, but simply because we are the children of God. And I believe for those who have joined the church triumphant that we have celebrated, now they know that blessedness face to face. And that is the word they would have for all of us, is never forget that you are blessed simply because you are a child of God. And that is the light in all of the darkened circumstances of this world. That is the light that will never die. And because of the light of Christ in our lives, we are blessed. Let us pray. Glorious and merciful.